Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's lots of allegations flying around unfounded in that meeting. And certainly that I don't see or never have seen as the avenue to engage in things that aren't really backed with fact. And, you know, I'd certainly challenge whether it's the media or anybody out there to go vet those things.
Yeah, go vet those things. You know, he was asked yesterday. This was yesterday. I had to catch up on the previous meetings as well, the one when I was out last week. But this is Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday talking about the Baptist demolition and the crazy, ridiculous, absurd city council meeting that took place, you know, where the people were all upset about all the wrong things they were saying about the Baptist demolition and the company that was, potentially being hired, the Bayou Garden District being hired to do this, or the Bayou District, sorry, being hired to do this. Anyway, and he said a lot of crazy things got said in that meeting. That's true. And, without a lot of vetting from people, you know, because, look, just because somebody said it at a city council meeting doesn't make it true. And I thought that was actually, it's obvious, but it's the kind of thing that I'm kind of glad he said it.
Well, I think what happens a lot of times is for some reason, somebody can say something in a council meeting and then honestly, it's probably partially my fault, is that I come in and react to baseless speculation in here, then which creates some type of news story when really, in reality, it was baseless to begin with. Maybe I should just say, hey, let's fact check it.
You know, actually, it's very interesting. Here's why. I watch all these meetings, right? You know that. I mean, I watch way too many meetings. But I find that my reaction when somebody says something in a public meeting is to treat it like it's true because it's an official government proceeding and it kind of has that feel of authority. And I mean, surely some member of the public with all the good intentions and all the best information and all of the expert training in the world isn't going to show up to the microphone and say something that's not totally true. All the time. Like, it happens all the time because they don't know what they're talking about, or they make something up, or they've got ego invest. I mean, right. There's, of course, think about the difference between if a director of some department says something, which means they know what they're talking about. At least they're supposed to. And I'll be honest, over time, you get to know which, you know, directors are really knowledgeable. And I mean, honestly, there aren't that many who aren't, but if there are, you kind of learn over time. But, you learn over time. And you learn over time with members of the public, too, who are repeat offenders. We've got people in Santa Rosa County and Escambia County. You learn, oh, that one's pretty reliable. When they say something, I should listen to that. That one, man, that person couldn't find their toes in the morning without a guide. We have those. And that makes them no less eager to speak in the microphone. There are really some people like that, not isolated to either county, that you've just got to learn that. But the point is, when you're watching them in a meeting, even, again, I find myself doing this, is, oh, okay, well, that's a news story because somebody said it publicly in a meeting. No, it's not. It's really not. The fact that somebody makes an outrageous claim doesn't make it true, doesn't make it newsworthy. In fact, there's a lot of times where people say things in meetings and my reaction is, Now, there is a felt need sometimes, I feel this sometimes, that if they say it and it's false, I have to refute it because it got said in a meeting, which is where the mayor is coming from here. You know, the feeling to maybe we have to refute these things because they're false. And, I mean, there's some value to that. But, you know, somebody says something on Facebook, it doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it news. People say stupid things all the time in all kinds of venues. But he's right. There is a kind of it's an official proceeding, so it kind of feels like maybe it's got to be reliable. And it really was. And especially at this meeting. And I covered this meeting extensively. This is the meeting where they were complaining about the Bayou District and all the things that they said got done in New Orleans and all of the ridiculous claims that got made. And I tried to tell you extensively how wrong what they were saying was. And yet they kept saying it a lot, and the city council caved, particularly Delarian Wiggins, got all afraid of the people, and, you know, they did a dumb thing, and they canceled a contract with the only company who bid on it. So, you know, kind of a bad choice. They're not going to have to come back and probably going to have to come back and pursue that company again, which is going to be a very interesting thing. But, for example, the argument that, well, all of these people got pushed out of their homes by this company.
But obviously, the displacement argument is complete lack of fact, complete 100% that is not factual. That they weren't even involved in that process until 18 months after the decision to displace by the federal government that had taken place.
Right. I mean, it was not made by them at all. They weren't involved in this until a year and a half later, but yet they got blamed for it. They got slandered in the meeting repeatedly.
This is, and I think, the biggest misnomer of this entire misperception, this entire issue is the confusion around what Bayou District's being hired to do. Bayou District is not being hired to be the developer. They're not hiring to even design anything. All they are merely being hired to do is to start the community engagement.
That's right. And again, just for those who might have missed the recap, the big complaint in the meeting was, how dare you design a project without talking to us first? And what city council should have said when the matter came up, and I know Jared Moore tried to say it, but nobody else really wanted to hear it, was, we're literally hiring them to go find out what you guys want. That the mob was angry and the mob got what it wanted, which was to cancel something on false pretenses.
I think I can sympathize with one part of the misperception. Because Bayou District Foundation's reputation, so to speak, is a very similar mixed income community, I think that increased confusion around, well, since that's what they did, that's exactly what they're going to do here. That's not what they were hired to do. They weren't hired to just do another Bayou District Foundation. They're hired to engage the community on what the community wants. And so I think that was understandably misperceived. And then I think, to your original question, there were many things that were intentionally misperceived in that council meeting, about us, about me, about them. But again, we're not here to... have a pity party.
We're not here to have a pity party. And he's right. I would use the term misrepresented rather than misperceived. I would say that and I agree with him that it's sort of understandable why some people got worked up. It's understandable how they might have confused the distinction between a company that did a big project over there and is being hired not to do this project, but to find out what people want for this project over here. But there were a lot of things in that meeting that, I mean, the people who were saying some of the things they're saying are far too smart to have not known better. I hate to call people liars because I'd rather always believe they're just making honest mistakes. But some of the people involved in this, these lies, they're way too smart to have been just mistaken. That was a problem as well. And he's right to distinguish between the two. You know, people who make honest mistakes and are understandably upset when they can be talked to, and people who are making dishonest, not mistakes, they're making dishonest statements. But where do we go now? You know, he got asked yesterday, so are you going to go back to Bayou District Consulting and try to see if they might come to the table again? And I knew what his answer was going to be before he gave it, which is, I didn't break this car. I wasn't the one driving when this car got broken. I didn't run this car off the road. It's not up to me to fix this car. We brought the car in good working order to you, and you all drove it into a brick wall. It's going to be on you to fix this problem. Not you, like the media, but you, the city council, and most particularly Delarian Wiggins.
And so we're turning our focus and attention to that, and we'll let
to the demolition.
We'll let the other things play out. But I'm not the person that gets to decide what the perception or misperceptions around Bayou District are, unfortunately. And if the council wants to bring something back forward, I think that question probably is more suited for them to say, if it's too tarnished or if it's something that they feel like they want to bring back.
Yeah, is Bayou District reputation, perception, image among the people who showed up at the meeting, is it irretrievably broken? Can they, you know, can we try again? And, you know, he's like, he's right. It's not up to him to fix it. It's up to the people who either broke it and or allowed the vote to postpone, to delay, to pull on the basis of it being broken. And that is primarily DeLarian Wiggins. So we'll see. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Cold again. My goodness. Wow. Just right around freezing, you know, and not a freezing unless you're probably in the north end. It's going to be colder, but not freezing where you have to wrap your pipes or drip your water or anything like that. But like right around, you know, depending on where you live, 31, 32 to 34, 35, somewhere in that vicinity. I'm Andrew McKay.
10 athletes will face the toughest job interview in fitness that will push past physical and mental breaking points. You are the fittest of the fit. Only one of you will leave here with an iFit contract for $250,000.
This is when mindset comes in.
Someone will be eliminated.
Pressure is coming down.
Trainer Games on Prime Video January 8th. Watch the trailer on trainergames.com.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PenAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PenAir.org/auto-refi. That's PenAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENAIR for complete details.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yo. You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift.
Well, it started out in a spare bedroom. Two turntables, and a microphone. I was flipping over 30.
Did you watch any of the football yesterday, John?
I actually did.
Yeah, did you watch the, what is the Liberty Mutual Life Insurance based in Connecticut, Music City, Tennessee, Nashville Bowl? All the, like, I always think about this. They put these branding things on these games,
right?
And I know the people who are doing the actual broadcast probably have to say it. There's probably contractual, you know, issues with them, but the heck if I'm gonna say any of that nonsense. You know, I'm a name lingerer anyway. Like when the Bank One ball field became Chase Field,
right?
Everybody in Phoenix still called it the Bob. And eventually, I think they call it the, and I don't even know if it's changed hands since then, but, you know, it just, things linger. Well, in any case, I am not going to be talking about which company sponsored the Music City Bowl. It was the Music City Bowl.
Yeah, that's
it. I mean,
it.
That's it. That's all we got to say. And even that's a little bit silly. Tennessee play in Illinois, both 8-4 teams. Of course, I graduated from Illinois.
Sorry.
So everybody's wearing, whoa.
Whoa. I just said I was sorry. I mean, that was it.
Why?
I just said I was sorry. I mean,
okay. So anyway,
I mean, I feel this, for you. I just,
this game was all second half. I mean, it was like it was 10-7 in the first half, and weirdly, one of those cases where they came over from the previous game, and they came over when Tennessee was right on the verge of just getting their first touchdown, and so you got it at the right point, kind of, so to speak, and then it was 10-7 at the half. So Tennessee's got the ball on their own 21, 12 minutes to go in the third quarter.
No one even thought they should be there. We got a chance to prove that everybody else was way wrong. Aguilar going to get hit from the backside. And the ball came loose. Scooped up by Illinois at the goal line and in the end zone. Touchdown, Illini.
And
a strip sack for Illinois.
presents a defensive touchdown.
And one of the weirdest plays ever, because the defensive lineman stepped on his next door neighbor's ankle and slid, and that made it so that, or sorry, the offensive lineman stepped on his next door neighbor's ankle and then slid, and that let the defensive guy get in for the sack that led to the strip, that led to the cover up inside the, you know, so. Yeah, that was pretty good. 17-7 at that point, but Tennessee, of course, comes back. And on fourth down and goal on the two at the other end.
Defensive lineman substitutions when the offense subs. Full house backfield. Aguilar under center. Handoff left side. And he reached for the goal line. He's in. Touchdown, Tennessee.
So it was a fun game. It was 17-14 at that point. And he was down, but he was tackled in reverse, like the guy was in front of him and tackled him down, so he never touched the ground with his knee. So he was, if he'd have been on the ground, he would have been down and he would have been stopped on fourth down. But because he was on top of this other guy, he's like, oh, well, I will put my hand out and get a touchdown. And he did. It was the right play. I mean, it was really kind of a great play. You can't quibble with the art, with the call. It was right. So coming the other direction, 5 minutes left to go. Luke Altmyer for Illinois, coming from the 41, going, you know, the Tennessee 41.
Board last night to draw it up for us. Altmyer fakes right, looking back left. Now he scrambles. And Luke Altmyer runs into the official and picks up the first down. He will let nothing stand in his way of a win here tonight in Nashville.
It's not bad enough he's got to beat 11 defenders. He's got to beat the zebra, too.
Sean Garrity, the umpire, failed to make the tackle.
Yeah, trying to go a double move to the field. Great coverage by Tennessee.
He did, too, man. And I mean, he could have run him right over. He kind of paused it like, what the? Do I? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
so he ran right through him because there was nowhere else to go. And I thought it was going to thwart him getting a first down, but he got a first down anyway, so it's a little bit of an, you don't know what would have happened anyway, but he goes down and they get a 2-yard touchdown, so they wind up going up 24-14 at this point. So they get into the fourth quarter, and Tennessee is trailing.
First and 10 for Tennessee, down 10. Deshaun Bishop, massive hole, and then he bounces to the outside and in. Touchdown. Tennessee, Deshaun Bishop.
There you go. So 24-21 at the time, and Tennessee has got it. It felt, the whole game, it felt like Illinois was just going to win. And then all of a sudden, it's 3 points. You know, this is kind of exciting. So Tennessee's got the ball. Illinois then from the 29, they get stopped, and they had to put in a field goal. So they're up by six. This is the key part of the game, okay? So 27-21, Illinois is up by six with 5 minutes to go. And their offense has been able to work, so you kind of figure, well, all they got to do is get to the other end of the field and get a field goal, not botch the clock too badly and not leave them with too much time, and so everything should be fine. So, you know, on the kickoff, after the field goal, Illinois, again, 5 minutes to go, up at this point by six. Sorry, I think I explained the next situation just a minute ago. But anyway, up by six with the kickoff.
Kickoff comes out at the six. And fumble. Regroup. Trying to find the edge. And look at this. Javon Dotson's got the sideline, and he may go. Try not to run out of steam. Dotson takes it to the house. 95-yard kickoff.
Did you see how he fumbled it and fumbled it?
He fumbled the kickoff.
I know.
Badly. It was on the ground.
But then made up for it.
But that took the eye of the defenders off of him and onto the ball.
Well, you're right.
And changed their pattern. And so he's like, boop, boop, and then to the side. And he had a bunch of people all falling down on the side. A 95-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to take the lead with 5 minutes to go. Yeah, but this is good. As an Illinois fan, oh no. My only consolation was thinking, well, there's 5 minutes to go. Anything can happen. And Luke Altmyer and the offense has been very good. So they fight all the way down to the 29. They manage the clock down to 2 seconds.
29-yard attempt from David Alano, the junior out of Naperville, Illinois, and Naperville North. This for back-to-back bowl wins for the Illini. Walks off Tennessee.
Yes!
David Alano with the winner.
Yes! Go Huskies! I'm from Downers Grove North, so you never ever cheer for Naperville North. Until now.
Oh.
That's great. There are rival schools in Chicago, but, you know, hey, you're on the right team now, so that was fun. Anyway, did you watch any of the other games that USC
No,
game?
I fell asleep.
I don't even know what happened in that game.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I have... you get to know your listeners over time, you know, especially the ones who participate. I have one guy who... He loves the show. He's very much not a conservative, but he loves the show. And whenever I do football, he's like, football. Like, yeah. Well, there's going to be more of it tomorrow because, you know, we got a bowl game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Who's playing tonight, John?
Miami and Ohio State.
And who's playing tomorrow night? Everybody else.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, hey now.
Some team from Louisiana.
What?
Olden, Mississippi? What is there?
Yeah, yeah. Foot thing. Yeah.
No, he's from Ole Miss. He went to Ole Miss. Or thinks he did. Anyway.
that's not what my
wallet
says.
And by the way, we will be live tomorrow. It's New Year's Day tomorrow. We will be live starting at 6. And we'll be live on Friday, regular time, starting at 5.
I get an hour of sleep?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, which you'd rather have on the following day to make up for.
Right, okay. Yeah.
You know, I didn't even go to Steve for headlines. I'm sorry, Steve. You got to turn them on, though. Hey, Steve.
It works when the microphone's working.
You got a 10-second headline for me?
Federal judges weighing whether to release the man accused of planting the pop bombs which were outside the RNC and DNC headquarters in Washington. And that's a headline.
Perfect. See, look at that. Ooh. I knew. What a pro. Steve has been doing the news for a minute.
Yeah.
And he's extraordinarily good at it.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Trump administration freezing child care payments to Minnesota amid widespread fraud allegations that several daycare centers are taking taxpayer money and not caring for any children.
And Governor Tim Walz is fighting back, saying this is Trump's long game. We've spent years cracking down on fraudsters. It's a serious issue. But this has been his plan all along. He's politicizing the issue to defund programs that help Minnesotans.
That's Fox's David Spunt. Affordable Care Act subsidies expire when the calendar turns to 2026.
Affordable Care Act health care plans go up, in some cases more than 100%, as expanded subsidies expire today. Many saw the increased costs factored into their plans when open enrollment began in November. A demand by Democrats to extend the subsidies drove the recent government shutdown.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 32 degrees and cold. I'm Steve Taylor in for the vacationing David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Explosions are going to rain over downtown Pensacola on New Year's Eve. Basically, the Downtown Improvement Board and the Escambia Commissioners are splitting the bill for fireworks after a two-year hiatus. The total for the nighttime event came in under $10,000. The Pelican drop in 2015 cost about $200,000. No additional staff or barricades will be put in place. The Pensacola Police Department says protocol for New Year's will be comparable to any given weekend. And while we're on the subject of downtown, the new Palafox project is breaking ground next week, but the work is not going to stop the celebration. Pensacola Mardi Gras is launching the Second Line Tuesdays. It's to keep the crowds downtown and support local businesses during the construction. Danny Zimmerman, the president of the Pensacola Mardi Gras Foundation, says the community is ready to help.
And that's really why we're doing this, is for these second lines. The Mardi Gras community is very supportive of businesses downtown and, of course, our community. And very proud. And so it's a big, big, big community. And they can't wait to come and bring attention to the businesses on Palafox that are open, going strong, better than ever during this reimagined project.
The Mardi Gras season is kicking off this weekend at Seville Quarter. Here's some great news for anybody heading to the beach. Two of the country's best are right here in Northwest Florida. Condé Nast Traveler released the latest Reader's Choice Awards for the top beaches in America, and our very own Pensacola Beach, yay, took the number one spot. Navarre Beach came in at number two. Nearly 757,000 people around the world voted on the list. The two Northwest Florida beaches beat out five beaches in Hawaii that ranked third through seventh. So if you're looking for a world-class beach experience, it's really a short drive away. A local utility representative is preparing an upcoming information meeting. Chris Bryan says the meeting sets the stage for 2026.
Residents of District 5 will learn more about the operations at ECUA next week. District 5 Representative Kevin Stevens is hosting a Q&A meeting on Tuesday from 5 to 7 at the Molino Community Center on North Highway 95A. The session is designed to give residents an opportunity to get direct assistance regarding local issues and services. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And in our weather forecast, should be a sunny day, high about 56 degrees. Yes, the warm-up is now underway after a low this morning about 32. Tonight should be clear, low 44. Tomorrow sunny with a high of 65 degrees. Right now it is chilly, 31 in Pensacola, 32 in Gulf Breeze, and 31 in Milton at 534. Next news is at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray.
with your money now. U.S. Steel's lawsuit accusing a Canadian company of refusing to pay for millions of tons of iron ore pellets is heading to arbitration. The October lawsuit, filed in federal court in Pittsburgh, claimed Ontario-based Algoma Steel violated its agreement to buy the pellets from U.S. Steel. The deal was signed in 2020 and ran through 2027. Apple spent much of the year battling President Trump's tariffs and the perception that it has fallen behind rivals in AI. The company failed to deliver its update to Siri that would have added new artificial intelligence features. Apple said it's on track to launch the Siri upgrade in 2026. NVIDIA is scrambling to meet strong demand for its H200 artificial intelligence chips from Chinese technology companies and has approached contract manufacturer Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company to ramp up production. Sources say Chinese technology companies have placed orders for more than 2 million H200 chips for 2026. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
When emergencies happen in Florida, every second counts. Beacon keeps you informed. It's the new statewide network bringing official emergency alerts straight from the Florida Division of Emergency Management and agencies statewide. No hype, no ads, just clear, verified updates to help protect you and your family. Download the free Beacon 24/7 Alerts app in your app store. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 5:37 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Sheriff Chip Simmons, our good friend. And it was also cold at the time when we started talking to him. It is cold, very cold, right around freezing. And Chip, you and I were talking as you were coming in this morning that, you know, it's nice once in a while to see your breath in Florida.
That's who you talk to, I suppose.
I love, so I'm from the Midwest, and so I miss sometimes the cold. I miss it for about a day or two, and then it goes back to being Florida again, and I'm fine. You know, it's good.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people that know me know that I was born in Iceland. My father was in the military, and I was born in Keflavik, Iceland.
Way to shade me not knowing you. That's news to me. Okay, fine. Maybe I didn't know
that. So they think, oh, you could like cold weather. I don't think that's how that works.
No, that's...
I'm not sure if that's...
I don't think the baby wants to return to its original state. Where were you born? Guam. That's why I like the tropics. Wait, what? That's so weird.
It doesn't happen that way. But I do like the cooler weather. I like having seasons.
Yeah.
Or what we call seasons, right?
Brief,
like the Midwest.
Shallow seasons. Yeah. That's right.
But I rather enjoyed the snowstorm last year.
Me too.
I think that was kind of cool. And,
get to teach people how to drive in the bad roads. That's good.
Yeah, or stay home.
Exactly right. Stuff that's happened over the weekend. Nothing overnight. I'll take that. That's good news. I'll take that.
That's correct.
We did have a gas station robbery, upper teenager, an Exxon. Is that what happened? What happened here?
You know, we call it robbery, but most people listening probably think, well, it wasn't really a robbery because it wasn't a gun. We used to call it like a till tap, where you just reach in and grab the money.
Tap, like the till for the
like
register.
The old okay, stuff, yeah. In this particular case, the reason it was a robbery without a firearm was they reached in to grab the money, and the bad guy and the cashier fought over it. So there was force used.
If there's physical either threat or engagement, then it's a robbery, not a burglary.
Right. And there's a couple different. There's a, we used to call it a purse snatch.
Okay.
And it depends on how much they fight.
Okay.
Right? If they punch you, knock you to the ground, it's a robbery. And if if it's now what we call robbery by sudden snatching.
Okay.
You know, so you basically took your purse.
Okay.
In this particular case, someone, he ran inside, had a hood on or a hoodie on, and reached in, grabbed the money, and they were fighting over the register itself, the tray itself. Ended up taking the money and fleeing into the neighboring area. We put some pretty good drone footage out showing people how good or effective our drones can be. If we set up a perimeter fast enough, in this particular case, we were, we did a pretty good job of getting there quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the individual, glowing, and they had taken off some of the clothes that they had worn, and it was still warm from the body heat. So you could see where the clothes was discarded. And then you could see our canines pulling our deputy along. And then the drone operator clearly was letting them know exactly where he was. So you can see our deputies kind of zeroing in, triangulating where the bad guy was. We ended up arresting him. So all that to say, yes, we arrested a guy for stealing money from the Exxon.
How much did he get?
Like $170, $180.
Not worth it.
Normally, we don't talk about how much money people get, but the ridiculousness of stealing under $200.
Well, this had come up with Bob Johnson yesterday. We were talking with him about somebody who did the same kind of thing, knocked over a convenience store and such a paltry amount of money, and then, you know, they track him with the dogs. He throws away the gun and the money and doesn't even get that, but it was a small amount. I mean, it just, they don't have money. They don't store a lot of money. It's a terrible, I'm not trying to give you advice if you're a criminal, but don't do that, you know?
Well, we'd rather you not do anything.
Right,
like that.
Exactly. Your better version of what I said. Thank you.
Exactly. No, it's always. It's not worth it. It's not worth being a criminal. I'm assuming that they're desperate. There's a level of desperation there. But again,
or just lack of creativity. Which I'll take in my criminals. Yeah, we had a what happened? A woman got into a pickup truck that somebody had gotten out of temporarily on the west side. You're looking for what happened here?
Yeah, we're looking for
where was
a couple
this?
People really. It was on the west side. I want to say I don't exactly remember where it was, but a gentleman gets out of his truck and goes inside because in a hustle and bustle of holidays or working.
Is this at a store? This is at a
convenience store.
Okay.
And you could tell from the video, from the surveillance cameras at the store itself, where this woman was looking around, and she just opens up the door, and then she grabs a laptop, some money, and I think $800.
Okay.
And then they take off. There's another car that's waiting for her. And then we got the information, and then ultimately we ended up getting a warrant on her. And we put her face out there, her identification out there. We're still looking for for this burglary and others. This wasn't the only crime that we believe this individual committed.
So both of these stories make me think of something, which is if I get out of my car, I lock my car, period. If I'm, I'm running into the library, lock my car. I'm going to the grocery store, lock my car. I'm going to I've gotten the gas at the pump. I don't lock my car when I'm standing there. But if I'm going inside, I lock the car. I mean, if I'm any unsure, I click it, beep it at a distance.
It becomes a habit.
It's 100% of the time I lock my car. Literally the only time I do not lock my car is when it is in my garage with the garage door down. That's the only time I don't lock my car. And I it's a simple thing, right? And yet, but because I know that people take the opportunity to, they see a car might be open and they go try it and they get in and they take something, and it's just not worth the utter inconvenience of having a thief of opportunity.
I do think that it becomes a habit, and if you make yourself do it, then it's like you said, you keep pushing the button, and when you hear the horn honk,
yep,
you know,
right,
you've done what you're supposed to do. This is not like it was when I grew up, where if I pull in somewhere, I wasn't sure if my car was going to start. So let's just leave this thing going,
right?
And then, you know, especially if you got someone with you. But otherwise, you're like, man, I need to get in there. But if I turn it off, I need to be jumped off or push started. One of those two things. But that's not where we're at in this particular situation. And so we would certainly encourage people to lock their. First of all, don't leave stuff in your car. Don't leave stuff visible in your car. But you know what? I got a lot of conversation. I've had a lot of conversations with this, and. While we encourage people to lock your door, it still doesn't give someone a right to be a thief.
Correct.
Because you left your car unlocked, just because someone was able to take something from you doesn't make it all your fault, right? So, there's two things can happen here.
One is you can stop being a bad guy,
and the second thing is that perhaps we should lock our doors.
Well, I mean, the moral fault is clearly on the thief.
Right.
But the prudential ability to thwart the theft is in your hands. And it's frustrating and annoying that we have to take those steps, but we live in a world where you know, if you don't take those steps, that's a choice you make. And that may carry consequences that are not your fault morally, but you could have avoided it. And that's all we're talking about.
Do you want to deal with the consequences of, exactly. of potentially being the victim of a crime and having your money stolen, having your debit cards compromised and doing all these things, having your gun stolen?
Right.
And if you do not want to be that person, then take these steps.
And the feeling of violation. I mean, one of the things from people who get stolen from, when somebody actually comes into your car or your home, there's a tremendous feeling of violation about that, you know, especially
your
home.
Your sense of safety is compromised. Right.
Right. My mom used to always tell me, when she was in college, had some folks break into her house and they didn't take much, but, you know, she just, it upsets you, you know, psychologically for a long time. You had somebody on Highway 29, I guess. She ran a red light, ran into one of your deputies in their vehicle. What happened here?
Yeah, well, that was it. As you know, we're out there 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. 7 days a week, and we log a lot of miles, whether we're answering calls for service or we're going to or just patrolling.
Sorry to interrupt, but what is a typical mileage on a Tahoe in the year?
I don't know exactly what it is. I would think it's probably well into the 20,000-30,000.
That'd be my guess too. But that's why I was curious if you knew, because normal they say it's 15,000. Right. Isn't that
well 12 to 15? I guess is the most. Yeah,
depending on how much you drive. But I figure those vehicles are putting a lot. You know.
Well, they're not driving. The cars aren't driving 24 hours a day.
Right.
When I first started in law enforcement, we did a hot seat or whatever they call it.
Okay, shared cars.
We drove. You drove one. You tossed the keys to the next guy coming in the parking lot, and those poor cars got a lot of miles really really quickly, especially the way we drove them back in the day. But in this particular case, a lady. Ran a red light and ended up striking our car and did some damage to both cars. But luckily, no one was injured, and we had to give our car towed to the lot.
That's the good news. I mean, the good news is nobody was injured for sure.
Right.
You also had a, you had a 44-year-old Alex Hines. The shooting took place on Brees Lane and Jeffrey Lane, and he's being charged with homicide. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the individual that was ended up getting shot in the face. I think the victim ultimately succumbed to the injuries, and we ended up making an arrest in that.
So you've got this person. You think that's case closed?
Yeah, our detective did a really good job of piecing these things together based upon a description that was initially given to the call. Originally went into the highway patrol because the thought was that an individual with a truck was ramming a trailer, so that the dispatcher when it first got to. Thought that it was on a roadway.
Okay.
Ultimately, it was a trailer, it was a truck, but it was on a vacant lot where the trailer had been set up. So it was in that vacant lot. And our detectives did a good job of piecing that piece of information, checking the area out, looking for other camera and video footage, our license plate readers, and then
motive?
We also placed the unclear.
Okay.
Unclear about the motive. We do believe there was some sort of a disagreement based upon where the truck was heading and where it was where the bad guy's truck was heading at the time, and there might be some area for the person to like drive into the woods and just drive his pickup truck, and we think that there might be a problem.
You know, from TV they always say you got to be able to prove motive as part of the case of making a homicide. Impede your case? I mean, I know you don't prosecute cases, obviously the state attorney does, but does it impede your case if you are unable to identify a clear motive, if you've got the other evidence to...
I don't think it impedes the prosecution. I think sometimes it affects the ability to investigate a case because it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
You know, we look at this Occam's razor. What's the most likely scenario here? And when we look at these things, we look at motive because it can point to who would have a motive to commit this crime, someone that would benefit from it.
Yeah.
But if we do not have a motive, then again, we have to go through the rest of the evidence and make sure that we think we know who it is. Because if we do not get a statement from the suspect, then sometimes we don't have a motive.
The philosopher in me is so happy you mentioned Occam's razor. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one.
Sorry,
it's better to prefer the... No, I love that. That's great. You had.
I did just get a text. Excuse me. We have about 60,000 miles a year, but the engine hours themselves are more significant because a lot of times we're doing the car's running.
The running, even though it's
and
driving.
To keep our computer running, so we can do a report. And sometimes the reports take an hour. Sometimes take 2 hours. So this is our office, more or less. So our deputies are there doing reports and doing patrol. So
right.
The cars.
That's interesting. Yeah, okay.
They log a lot of miles.
Now I got follow-ups. This I have always wondered, do cop cars get stolen ever? Because you leave them running, because you need to be able to just get in and go. Like, because the exact opposite of what we were talking about a moment ago. Your deputy goes into the convenience store to warm up their food for lunch or whatever, you know. You leave the car on.
Sometimes. If there's often a canine in the back of it, they do that.
And so, I mean, cars get left on a lot. Do they get, I would assume it like almost never happens, but you tell me.
It almost never happens. I'm not aware of someone stealing one of our police cars in the 40 years I've been in law enforcement.
Good.
We've had cars get burglarized. People probably open the trunk thinking they got some big weapons in the trunk, and they typically don't. But I don't think we leave our cars
running
and unlocked.
Except if
anymore.
There's a canine or you're in
it's
it.
It's super hot, obviously. Right. We keep our car running, but then we obviously make sure that they're locked.
You had a more minor incident, but it was on social media yesterday. A woman got arrested, had some cocaine on her. Traffic
it's
stop,
typical
right?
Traffic stop, and then cocaine alerted, and then we find there was cocaine in the car, a pretty decent amount, not trafficking amount, like 20 grams, 28 grams, I believe, is the trafficking amount of cocaine. And what trafficking amount does is allow some minimum mandatory type sentences. And the thought there is that you're not just a user, you're not just a seller, you're a trafficker, mm-hmm. you're this mid-level distributor of drugs. And in this particular case, we put a picture out really because people were asking what was going on there, and we happened to have our deputy at the scene, so we did what we call happening now, just to answer some of the questions about what we're doing there. And we like to be as open as we can and let people know what's going on, whether it's going to affect traffic patterns or whatever in these types of situations. And that's what we did. We do it while you were sleeping, if something happened overnight, if we have pictures.
Yeah.
And then to answer some questions, because nowadays everyone's on social media wondering what's going on. Every time I see an ambulance, every time I see a police car or a fire truck, people want to know what's going on. And this is the environment that we live in. And we have opportunity for people to go online and take a look at where we're at.
The incident report map is very useful.
Right.
It doesn't give you a lot of information, but it kind of gives you a how serious is this, generally speaking.
And there's a lot of people that know what we do, and they can see if there's a crime scene unit that it's a death investigation or a very serious crime. It could just be a follow-up, though.
Perdido Key, kind of a weird story involving, was it the theft of a dog? Is that what happened here?
That was part of it. The main part of it was someone was beaten rather severely. So this guy gets out of prison a couple of weeks ago, I believe, and he's staying with a group of friends and then he outstays his welcome. They want him to leave. He doesn't want to leave. He gets into a physical confrontation with one of the people that is living there. And then he decides he's going to take the dog because he's been taking care of the dog and the dog likes him best. And he takes the dog and leaves. Doesn't get very far. We end up finding him about a block or two down the street. We return the dog and arrest him. The victim in this case was life-flighted, I believe, with serious head injuries. And so he's being charged accordingly.
And last thing, we'll end on a good note. You did shop with a cop, right? Taking
the kids
to the Walmart and
but
it was in your office. You've been doing this for several years.
We shopped at your station. Walmart for a couple of days, several days, and then we decorated our training room downstairs in our main headquarters, and we were able to bring over 60 kids in and give them Christmas more than what they might have had otherwise. And so
it's foundation funds. Thank
you. Foundation is the conduit by which the people can donate money and the businesses donate money. And we live in a great community, as you know, very gracious. And they were able to donate money. And then the purchase was made at Walmart and other places, but mostly Walmart. And then the folks at Walmart actually came and bring lunch bags and sandwiches and chips and a little bit of candy. So it was very well received. We're so proud to be able to do it. And again, the look on the children's faces, the look on the deputies' faces that they were able to walk them in. And everyone does these sorts of things, and we want to be a part of that as well.
It's a great thing to do for the kids. It's also a great thing to do for, just the awareness of what the agency is and for the deputies to be. So much of the time you deal with frustration and sadness and tragedy, and to be able to do something that's all upside is wonderful. And you can see it. I got a chance to watch you guys a couple of years ago, and it's just fantastic.
The unique nature of ours is that we work with a school district and we talk to teachers and say, do you know of someone that's in need? Who knows more about the needs of the kids than these teachers who spend all day with the children? And so we know that there is a need there, and we trust obviously the evaluation of the school, the teachers and the school districts. We appreciate their assistance.
Very good. Chip Simmons is our sheriff in Escambia County. Chip, as always, thank you for the time. Merry Christmas in the past. Happy New Year. We'll see you next year. As Jimmy Patron has got me on that one yesterday, so good job. We'll see you next year, sir. Thanks for the time.
We just want everyone to don't drink and drive. Just be careful.
And fireworks are legal in the county, not in the city.
That's
correct.
For
New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
That's correct.
There you go. Chip, thanks for the time.
You bet. Y'all take care.
And that's an important note to remember. You can legally shoot off fireworks today and tomorrow in unincorporated Escambia County and definitely unincorporated Santa Rosa County. I just haven't gone to check to see if Gulf Breeze or Milton have limits. I don't think they do. John, you live in Milton. Do you know offhand? Have you looked?
If they do have limits, people don't go by them. Just trust me.
Zero obedience to that law. Yeah. I'm going to have to. I in the break, I'll go look and see if I can figure it out because I've been talking about it for 2 days. I don't know. Happy New Year's, by the way. And, should I tell them what we were talking about?
No. Why?
Because it's funny.
It's up
to you.
So
when we were talking about the Exxon grab-and-go guy, the, what did he call it, a till tap?
Yeah.
Right? Which I'd never heard that term before.
No, okay. Neither did I.
And how he only got $140, something like that. And I made the comment for such a paltry amount of money. And you said,
he grabbed some fried chicken on his way with the money.
Paltry.
Yeah. Fried chicken.
In the southern accent. That's pretty good. I hope that ever comes up in my life where I can use that again. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola. Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So, if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. of the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
This is Sherry with Jonathan's Flooring, wishing a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Megan with the Boot Store in Locksley and Pensacola, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Eldon Scott with Sonny's Barbecue, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Corey with WEAR, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
This is Bruno with Hill Kelly Dodge, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Oh, man. John and I just had one of those we're old moments. So we're listening to the spot. I don't even know what the thing was for.
The ECUA.
Okay. Oh, it was your talking trash right. Bath. You're talking trash with John Pickett. and then it gives the phone number to call.
Right.
Over top of the sound effect of the old when you're dialing the.
Back in the day.
When you're pressing the buttons to push button dial instead of rotary dial. And I said to John, I said, do you think kids today recognize that sound effect? And he said, nope, because all they've ever known is, like, cell phones.
Right.
So the idea of push-button tones for numbers, that sound effect is meant to tell old people it's
right.
Like us, you're dialing, but it doesn't have any resonance for people who are under probably, what, 35?
But what blew their mind was a rotary phone.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because when we went to my dad's house, my dad had one stored, and I was just like, hey, kids, look at this. Well, what do you do? So I did it one time, and they're like, oh, we can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't take a lot. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, cases of measles in the U.S. reached the highest level in more than three decades. The CDC says for the first time since 1993, there were more than 2,000 cases of measles in 2025. That's compared to less than 300 back in 2024.
If only there were a vaccine.
If they could come up with one for that. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Right? Yeah, it might solve the problem. President Trump issued the first vetoes of his second term in office. Trump rejected a pair of bills that passed Congress with bipartisan support, one for a pipeline measure, the other for legislation that would include more land for a Native American tribe in Florida. And that's what's happening.
And that's, you know why he vetoed it? This is a bipartisan voice vote legislation. Like, everybody supported this. You know why he vetoed it?
Why?
Because this tribe joined a lawsuit suing against Alligator Alcatraz because they thought that that would interfere with their ability to do their customs on their land. And he retaliated by thwarting this bill.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Happy Old Year. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News 22.